Welcome to the Free and Open Source Software Podcast Series, featuring presentations from the FOSS VG Conference at Lake Morgan Resort.
This year's podcast were recorded and produced by tech-savvy kids from St. Albans, Vermont. This episode features Bjorn Hedrett doing fog imaging.
Hope you enjoy it!
Rock and roll, hoochie coo. For the guys who do know me, I maintain my website, askbj.net, and I did throw my the materials, or the few links I made for this up there. Also has plenty of other free software links in here to take a look at if you guys want. This week we're going to be doing fog. Why don't I wait for a second? I still got stragglers.
Yeah, let's just stragglers come in.
Yeah.
I hope you don't take a week.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't take a week, too.
Yeah.
How do you like these little HP boxes?
I love the HP boxes. They are a beast. I do like, the one thing I like about the 2133s and the very, very new, where you pay for the upgrade on the 2140s is that you can do 800 high. So web pages actually look right on them.
As opposed to the EEPC.
As opposed to all the other notebooks, which are only 600 high.
Right.
That's one of the biggest advantages. And when I bought the 2140, I didn't think to ask about it. And so the 2140 I have only goes to 600 high, and I'm a little upset. I would have paid the extra $30 to get it.
Keep in mind, we do have Walter Bender here, so you have the whole LPSP train.
Yeah, well. Okay. Let's go back to what I'm supposed to be talking about here. Fog, how many people here have used Semantic Ghost? How many people here out of that group are running out of licenses with Semantic Ghost?
What's a license?
First comment from the heckling circle.
Sorry.
Okay. I started off this summer. I have, 20 licenses of Semantic Ghost, and I have kept having to delete the computers to re-add them to do my next lab, to delete the computers to re-add them. So I decided to go looking out to see what was out there. There's a few programs like Clonezilla and all those other ones, which are good for really easy for disk-to-disk. But I wanted a network enterprise one. I wanted to sit in one place and click. And what I came across was Fog. And I was blown away, and it just was so much better than what I was used to. How Fog works is it's actually a web-based management of this. It can clone, do multicast cloning, so you can clone a bunch of computers all at once. There's even a mobile web page for this, so you can walk around with your iPhone or your Palm Pilot and say, I want this one cloned. Really cool. And I'm going to get into it. It is a Linux program. It must run on Linux. I have it running on a VMware image. Is there anybody who doesn't know what VMware is? Raise your hand, please. Okay. VMware is a virtual machine. Basically, run a computer inside of a computer type of thing. There's VMware, there's VirtualBox, VideoBox?
Yeah, VirtualBox is the reason you don't care about VMware.
Yeah. By the way, if you have VirtualBox, please let me know. I'm the other one.
Oh, you're the other virtual box?
I'm the other virtual box.
Oh, man. That's brilliant.
So it's basically how I have it running on mine is I have it a virtual box with Ubuntu running Fog. The other thing that it does is unlike the version of Semantic Ghost that I was using, where you had to make the boot disks for every single computer or install the client, it actually works off of Pixie booting. Pixie booting is network booting. So any pretty much newer computer, you just at the beginning of the screen you hit network boot, F12 network boot. Or if you have an older computer, one of the links I do have here on my website is a Pixie boot disk like this, which has over 200 different network things. I'll get to you in a minute, Paul.
I just wonder what Pixie stands for.
I have no idea.
Pre-execution.
Thank you. He always keeps me on my toes. So I call it network booting. So even if you have older computers, you can still make a disk. It's one disk. It has about 200 different network drivers on there. So pretty much it'll work. The other thing about FOG that I really, really liked is it has a lot of great documentation.
Why do they call it FOG?
Free Open Source Ghost is what it stands for. The FOG website is really well maintained. I've seen some open source applications where they have the commercial portion of it and it actually stays maintained that way. FOG has no commercial application to it, but it is probably one of the best documented programs I have seen out there. Untangle has a commercial application to it, though. So, even so much as to even have videos. So, it has the wikis, has the user guide, it even has videos that you can watch on how to do different things. Like you said, open source, free, no commercial backend, and it still has all these things in here. So, it's very well documented. The forums are up, are well used and maintained, so it's very easy to get some information on this. They also update this quite often. I started at the beginning of the year at 1.9, and it's now 2.6 with the 2.7 already coming up on their homepage, being able to clone Windows 7. So they've already gone through and made it compatible with Windows 7, so this is a very well-maintained project. Yeah. Back here. What else? It does work with Active Directory, and I'll go in and show it. So I can import all my computers, whether it be through, I'll show you how that works in a second. So you can import all the computers. You can sync it with Active Directory, so it will automatically clone the computers, rename the computers, and rejoin it to the domain. Which I know Semantic Coast can do. I've had it quirky. This has been a little bit more successful and less quirky. One of the things I want you to be careful with if you do, if you are installing this, is the FOG setup, whether you use the VMware image or whether you actually do the straight Ubuntu image, is it wants to set up by default a DHCP server. It wants it to be its DHCP server. I've had to be really careful here and not connect it to our network, or else I could be breaking everybody's internet. So during the install, be careful and note that you want to say no to all the DHCP settings, and then you want to add a few lines into your DHCP server. Am I lost anybody with DHCP server? Okay. I left the instructions. I got this straight from their documentation on how to set up. You have to add two lines to your DHCP server to say, hey, if you network boot, look at this computer. I actually had it running coinciding with an Edubuntu LTSP project where I had, this was the main boot, and then my LTSPs were reservations put off to the side.
So you have to go in and mod your DHCP server to get this to work?
You have to mod your DHCP server to get this to work. It's very minimal. There's instructions on their thing for both Apples, Linux, and Windows.
Oh, okay, you have to mod the DHCP client or the DHCP server?
Server.
Because I'm running, like, I'm running a Unix, a Linux-based client.
They have the instructions.
IPCOP. I'm running.
Yeah,
I'm
running. That's easy.
Yeah, they, in their documentation, they do have, in the user guide here, they do have how, very easily, you know, six steps, how to manage Linux, Apple, and DHCP, how to make this work.
But like, you turn off DHCP server during the install?
Yeah, FOG, you want it off.
Absolutely.
Unless you know exactly what you're doing, take it off. It wants to say yes, but take it off before you break your network. Just a warning on that one. I do encourage you to check for version updates often. I've been coming out with one every few months. They've been coming out with updates. I showed the default password because I always forget that. And for you people who are really concerned about security and passwords, when you do the Active Directory username login, you need to provide an Active Directory username and login. They have a crypt utility to make the password encrypted. So because it's an open source project, you normally can see this source code. They provide this thing in here so you can do some key combination, and if you match it up, it'll make the encryption for you. Let's get into looking at the program. I'm going to try and do this with two things. The computer I have it running on here is an HP 2140, the new HPs. This actually arrived in a box yesterday. I got it at 4 o'clock. I threw VMware on here and put the fog client on there, updated it, and it's running. So it was a very easy thing for me to set up. The fog client, using VMware for this, while it works right in there, here, actually, I'll show you this. Yeah. Sorry. this is actually a version of Ubuntu with the fog server. This is the
Wubi.
Hmm?
Be Wubi-ing in?
No, this is VMware just running.
The word you're
saying. Think of this as a computer. So this is Ubuntu. This is their VMware image, which is on your disks.
They refer to it as an appliance, VMware.
Okay,
appliance.
The VMware appliance. And if you look, the Fog Server VM was created to allow testing of computer cloning solutions. Please keep in mind that Fog uses a lot of input and outputs, so if you want to use this Fog in a production environment, we recommend installing it on a bare metal computer. Basically, it works doing it this way. I've done it this way several times. I cloned a lab of 20, no problems doing it this way. If you are going to be trying to get images for all your computers, I would recommend another box, standalone box with Ubuntu on it, because it does throw a lot of data information back and forth. When you log in, most of the time, this will just be running in the background. You don't need it. One of the really nice things about the VMware image version. Is it comes up with this menu right here. Configure the IP address, run the fog setup, check for update. So I almost like just using the VMware image over a standard update, but so if I need to just find an update, I hit number 3, it automatically downloads it, installs it, I'm good to go.
Can I just ask a really basic question?
Go for it.
So right now your laptop is a Windows laptop that has Linux on it?
I'm using something called VMware.
So VMware is the virtual machine.
Virtual machine.
You can add to a Windows machine that turns it into being allowed to use Fog.
He's essentially running a Linux setup.
I'm running VM. Think of this as Ubuntu.
Okay, so you're running, but you didn't actually install Linux on your machine.
I have not installed Linux on my machine.
So it's just VMware that's on your machine.
VMware.
And you're running Session. Got it.
Exactly.
And now, my servers, if they're not Linux, doesn't matter.
Does not matter. You can do the VMware.
And is VMware free?
VMware is free.
Perfect.
The player is.
No,
server
really
is.
There's different
flavors.
There's different flavors. They really want it to be pay. If you do it the other, there's this thing also in Linux called VirtualBox, which is really free.
Yeah. Just a quick clarification.
And this would run on it.
The quick clarification is that it's if it's non-enterprise, it's free. If it's enterprise, there's an associated fee with it.
All right, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so it...
So ESXi, which is pretty enterprise, is free now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Intel only.
Yeah, so you get... So does everybody understand what VirtualBox or VMware is and how this is working? It's a computer inside of a computer. One of the other things, as an example for this one, I have another, I created a brand new VMware image. I just said create new. It's exactly like doing another computer.
Is it necessary to use dual core processors to run VMware?
No, I have it running on an HP notebook.
No, it's not.
There's a multi-thread capability in the Intel architecture that works fine. It slows, but it's slow. It's the only down thing I don't like about VMware.
Okay, what this is a VMware image. I just created a very new image. And what you'll notice, it'll literally, starting at the BIOS, will start to boot a computer. It'll actually start to reboot this computer in a way. Right here is, if I can get in there, and get it in time. When I start my computers, restart. Okay.
He's rebooting now.
Yeah, there you go. What it did was it looked for the network to say, is there any, can I network boot? It did. It found a network boot, and it actually literally started a little version of Linux. And this is the menu I get when I turn on the computer. After about 3 seconds, it takes the default of booting from the hard drive. From this area, I can run a memory test. I can do a quick host and registration. So if this is a new computer, I can just kind of say, yes, please add this to my FOG database of computers, a.k.a. no license. Perform a full inventory. This is really cool if you have new computers coming in and you already have an image. So right from this menu, I can say, new computer, turn it on. I can provide its name. I can provide its image. And it will turn on and reclone right from this menu. I don't even need to go into the client.
So this is one of the computers that you're cloning.
This is one of the computers that I'm cloning. Think of it as exactly one of those computers that I'm cloning.
And it just pulled this image from the server.
It will. I'll show you in a second.
But this dialogue.
Right, he's booted to this image.
I booted to this image. I'll show you in a second with my other computer when I started it. Quick image, basically, if you already have it in the database with an image associated, you can hit quick image, and it'll just reclone the computer. And this is right from the computer. I don't even need to go in any management. It boots and sees this. Full image, quick image, you just hit that and go. Full image will actually take an inventory of the computer, ask you what name you want it, ask you what IP address. So the full image, full host registration is kind of like you got a brand new computer,
okay,
open the box, go. Quick image, you know, math teacher's computer is going funky, reclone. Okay.
That's the full image product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I know what you mean, yeah.
Basically, all your clients will come up with that briefly?
Very briefly, they'll come up with that. I don't usually leave my VMware running, so most of the computers just time out at the network boot and go on until I turn on it on. But it has some other really nice features. Nope, you don't have to.
Okay, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping the answer is no.
No. That is one of the advantages that you,
okay.
That's the menu when you first see it. This is the FOG client image. I just logged onto a website, so again, you can access it from anywhere. You just log onto the web. Or a web page, plug it in. Except you can even do it from a mobile device and get a similar interface. I did it once. It was really kind of fun. How this works, this is the home page of FOG. While I've never really had a really cool use for it, other than it looks cool, it does show me the imaging history for the past 30 days. and the bandwidth I'm using through here.
It's nice to know what your bandwidth is.
Yeah, so you can tell if you've taken up the bandwidth as you're doing it. Gives you how much space is left in on your computer here. And disk information. One of the things that it allows you to do now is you can add a second computer and make it just storage. I haven't done it yet, but it does allow that. So if you need more storage or make this bigger, you just pop another box in, put fog on it, and set it up as just a storage container.
Just for your images?
Just for your images. So you can continually expand this as far as you want.
We live in a day and age of under $100 terabytes.
Yeah.
How hard is it to plug a USB in and mount it and have the fog server recognize it?
Shouldn't be that hard, other than knowing how to mount a USB hard drive onto Linux. If you can do that, you're golden.
It'll find it, or you have to tell it in the
configuration. I think you'll have to change the configuration to say the share. The location of the images are going to be here. If you can do anything that has Linux, anything where you can install a second fog, you can create it as one of these default nodes and have it show up automatically. So two ways to do the same thing. This first window, I'm just going to kind of go through, is the hosts, where I can list all the hosts, or I can just do a quick search. So here are the two hosts that I have. The VM computer, which is the one you were looking at on this screen. PES MLAB 25, which is going to be this computer right here, which I'll connect and restart. In here, the information that I have for this: host name, IP address, MAC address, what image it uses, host OS. For you, right now, it is only designed for Windows and Linux. So sorry, Mac guys. You're going to have to use whatever assertion. So you can clone Linux and Windows machines with this. Apparently. I have not cloned a Linux machine with this, so I have not. Looks like you have to do some kernel arguments.
Well, I like Andy Linux.
Excuse me, you mentioned earlier that there's a client that goes onto the machines?
Yep, there's just a simple service. It'll run as a service in Windows.
Very small footprint, Bob. It's not big.
Yeah.
Where's that client come from?
You get it right up. It's right on the fog source. You can get it right from the fog server.
Actually, if you go to 11.
Your source too, I think.
Yeah. Is it fog / right there? Do / client, and there's your.
You just download it.
And download it, install it.
Okay.
Also, if I go back to here quickly.
BJ, sorry, I got a question.
Yeah.
Somebody asked earlier, you don't have to image from the machine, but you're going to have to do two things to each machine before you image them: set them, pixie boot, and run the client.
You'll have to set them to Pixie Boot. You'll have to install the client. And the other thing, if you have Active Directory, you'll have to install Windows XP support tools. How it actually joins it to the MAME is the Windows netdom.exe file, which is part of their support tools. Which is also really cool. In my network, when I changed my domain, I just wrote a little tiny script, and it changed all my computers, the domain on them. Without imaging.
Couldn't they be part of the image?
They can be part of the new image, and in that case, you would maybe use one of those front menus. So there are ways to do it, but yes, I install the client, I change the computer to network boot. If it's an older one, I have Pixie Boot disks to have them network boot. I install Windows XP support tools. So there are a couple things you need to do to it, which you also need to do with Ghost client. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Click back here. When you add hosts, you can either do it through the computer, or it can even be uploaded from a CSV file, just a spreadsheet. You can upload as long as you have the MAC address. Going back to the computers and the information that it allows you to do from here. Basic tasks. Deploy, send it out, upload. Advanced has a lot of different options, and I'll go into those in a little bit. Active Directory, this is where it allows you to set up a domain name, organization username, and domain username and password that has access rights to add a username. Again, this domain password is encrypted, and you need to have the encrypt utility, which is part of the install, part of the 600 meg down, or the actual download of it, which is annoying to get to. So it's also, if you go to my webpage, it's an attachment there. If you have a domain password, you have a little encryption file.
If you use the same encryption file that they use, it has to be the same level of encryption.
Yeah. FogCrypt here. What this does is...
essentially, it properly encrypts the SS.
Yeah, it's... basically, I run this little encrypt your password. I save it to a text file because I like copying and pasting. And what it'll do is it'll give me this little passkey input string. And this is my password in plain text. This passkey is something you set in Fog, so you personally set this. And if you're really worried about it, you want to change this from the default. And this is the output that you put in there into the field on the page here.
So it essentially creates a double key encryption that's consistent with Windows encryption.
Okay, what he said.
So the user account you put in there should have rights.
Domain admin rights, or at
you
least
don't it, have full domain admin. Rights.
It needs to be a username that can add a computer to a domain.
Right.
That's it.
With rights.
It needs to have domain add rights.
Yeah.
Well, it's open LBAP, so I don't think you can.
No. The quickest way, if you really need to populate this fast, is to upload a CSV file with the MAC addresses. Or for me, I just go around installing the Fog client, which automatically adds them to the inventory.
So the Fog client you can push out with Active Directory?
Yeah, you can push that out with Active. It's a simple exe
file. You can actually push that out with just an access to the web page. You know, so for example, you can push it out or you can pull it up, either way.
You could add it to the login script, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just a simple exe file that install. I'm sure it probably has a silent install option. So you can
just put it in with the rest of the viruses. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
It'll work fine.
I do not use this for printer management. I use something called Script Start for printer management, but it can manage your printers. Snap-ins. Basically what these is there are programs out there. You'll take an inventory of your computer, you install a piece of software, take another inventory of your computer, and it'll create an exe file with all the changes. What you can do is deploy those exe files using this. So if you want to install a piece of software and deploy it to your lab, you can do this.
This is like the poor man's deep freeze. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Kind of.
Kind of. The poor man's deep freeze is probably Retinal, which is free. service settings. These are all the things that client can do on your computer. And it changes. Like I said, they update a lot. Host name changing, directory cleaner, user cleanup. Display manager, auto login. I don't remember what Green Frog is. Snap in, which is the sign install. Host registration, printer management, task reboots, user
green
enabled.
Green Fog enabled, actually.
What?
Is that Green Fog enabled?
I don't remember what Green Fog is without reading the thing.
What's user
direct? I have to read. Like I said, I don't usually use that section of it. It does pull an inventory of the computer, so I have pretty much all the information I could want, including serial numbers and motherboard version, BIOS dates, with Fog. Plus, allows me to put some extra user custom tags in there.
Did you say inventory is applications?
Hmm?
Applications?
This one doesn't inventory applications.
Inventory is hardware.
Inventory is the hardware. Open Audit does inventory applications very nicely. I like it better than OCS. Yeah, and I'm doing that one actually at FOSSED in June. Virus history, logon history. So it can even have a history of who's logged onto the computer at any given time.
So does a virus scan go to the image?
This thing can do virus scans. It can do... Let me go to the... I'm going to go to tasks right now. List all tasks. I'm going to go to advanced. Debug mode, so it allows you to... just go to a command prompt and allows you to run something before you deploy. Deploy snap-ins, memory test, wake on LAN, fast wipe, normal wipe of computers. It will do a surface disk test, surface disk test. It can load a recovery utility to recover lost files. Antivirus scan, which is Clam AV, hardware inventory.
Be saved as a CSV file for use in as a database?
My guess would be yes, Bob. I haven't done it, but my guess would be yes.
If you're worried about inventories, there's a program called Open Audit. I'd suggest taking a look at that. Doesn't have a client install, web-based. It'll inventory your computers. And it even allows for software licensing. So you can say, I have so many licenses of Office, and I'll tell you. One of the coolest things about this one, password reset. So for your local administrator, it has the password. You can reset your local administrator password if need be. Okay. It does allow for groups. I don't think I have any groups here yet. What I can do for these is I'm going to actually create a group, and I call it clone, with the computers that were checked. That's the little confirm box. Mind you, I'm probably pushing this little tiny PC to its max, running two virtual boxes at the same time. On a little tiny notebook.
You're probably doing a pretty good job of it. You know?
How many K of memory do you have on
that? Two gigs of memory on this one, but I think the Fog image only has 256 megs I gave it to. List groups.
It says it's pretty resilient, though, because you can pull it off on that pretty well.
Hmm. So I can go in. It allows me to do... group tasks. So all those computers that were in there, I can choose to say basic tasks, upload, deploy, which allows for me multicasting or unicasting. Multicasting sends out one packet, hits all the computers at the same time. Unicasting kind of goes boom, 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 boom. Unicasting's faster if you have like one or two computers. Multicasting's better if you have a whole lab of computers, but you have to get every single one to connect. Which was an issue even with Ghost.
Does it take groups from Active Directory?
No, you can't do the groups from Active Directory. It has all the computers, it creates the groups in here. You can choose to associate an image with these groups of computers. You can choose to associate Active Directory settings. So you don't have to go into each individual computer to actually set these things.
So will it allow an image from one type of hardware to put on a different type of hardware?
What they recommend is using SysPrep. So That's been around for a while, where you take an image, you take a image of a computer, you run sysprep, which removes
SID,
and it removes any association with all the drivers, device manager drivers, and basically it'll shut down your computer, and what you have to do is you have to clone it before it turns back on. So you run sysprep, you have it restart, and you clone that image. And when you deploy that out, it then allows you to, when it turns on a different setup, it will go through a hardware wizard, you know, please tell me what your hardware is, please tell me all these other things. So you can do that.
Tell me where all those files are.
Yeah, you have to know where all the files are. And it's still a little flaky, especially when you have multiple. It works well if you go from like Dell to Dell. If you go like Dell to Toshiba, anything with a different hard drive controller, sysprep kind of gets a little bit quirky. If it works at all.
What would you recommend in terms of, would you say, one type of hardware just store that image with its drivers?
That's what I do. Yeah. For the most part, I will take a day, reformat a computer, make it perfect the way I want it, and upload that hardware to it. That's kind of my primary way of doing it. I don't usually play around with sysprep. Exactly. So there, initially it's a lot of work, like she says, but if you want to go with sysprep, great. It's been around for quite a while. People have been doing it for quite a while. I chose just to create multiple images and do the initial work for each different type of hardware.
And the cool thing about an image and client is cool thing about storage and server.
Actually, no. I have 10 gigabytes. I cloned this last night. And I have about 10 gigs of information on here because I follow that theory of install all the open source software you can. And I'm only using 5.89 gigs on this computer, and 1.5 of that is the operating system.
Which leads me to the real, the question to follow on to his is, Is this thing, there's kind of almost the old part image standard. Is this the image that's on the server? Do you know anything about it, or do you care?
I haven't cared yet.
Okay. That's a good answer.
I read that it uses Ping as the underlying engine.
It does.
Because I saw it install Ping. Yeah. I wondered what the hell was it doing installing Ping.
And Ping defaults to using gzip to
compress. Of course, the gzip. So it is the... Oh, it's actually deep.
Okay, so
compatible with part image.
Yeah. Again, allows for multiple images.
Can you view the images? Like, can you
file
out of them like you can with Ghost?
Well, if it's the GZ zip file.
The real question he's asking is, can you mount them?
Not
in other
words, that
what you really want to do is, if you screwed up somewhere in the image, you want to be able to open the image and stick other stuff in it.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. And the answer is maybe.
Yeah, I've checked the forums, because I'm sure that's a question that's been asked and probably something that's maybe doesn't have an official solution to or an official solution to. But there's probably an answer out there.
This is a huge issue.
No, it has its one compression.
Okay.
This is an image, basically. Not much to it. Give it a name. Which storage group? Like I said, you can have multiple computers. The location of it. So if I want to jump into the console, I can actually find it. The actual image, and this is the image name. The type of image. One little quirk with this that I know they're working on is... It will only, if you choose NTF single partition, it will only do the very first partition. Which is a problem with those Dell computers that put that hidden partition.
The famous hidden partition.
The famous hidden partition. If you have a computer that has a hidden partition, you have to do the multi-partition single disk. Not resizable. Or you do what I do and, you know, F disk and play with the boot INI to get rid of that hidden partition, and it works fine. That is an issue that is probably one of the more common ones that people are talking about, and I believe it'll probably be put in as a setting for you to be able to say, I want to clone partition 1, partition 2, partition 3 in the near future. As of right now, no.
My poor tired eyes don't understand the not. I can't see it. When it says not resizable, it means you're cloning the whole disk. Can you clone to a disk of a different size and it'll work? Or is it not resizable to the destination?
I'm guessing that if you pull it off an 8, if you pull off a 40 gig hard drive and put it, you can probably put it on an 80 gig hard drive, but it'll set the partition.
Oh, it'll be just 40, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it'll set the partition to 40.
And that is how ping behaves, so I'd imagine.
Sure, that makes sense.
Okay. Or you can do a raw image, which is sector by sector, which is very slow, but you'll get an uncompressed file, I guess.
How DD?
Yep.
What kind of speeds are you getting on the VM?
Using the VMware image on a 10 gigabyte hard drive, what I did last night, it took me an hour through this my little setup with running on a, mind you, a little tiny HP notebook through VMware. I was able to pull this image for in about an hour. And
that's impressive. Even the hardware and staying up late at night.
And one of the things I did want to show you guys was
6 hours.
I'm going to start a new task. I can either list the groups and start a new task on a group. In this case, I'm actually going to list a host. I'm going to take this little laptop and I'm actually going to clone it. So I'm going to say I want to deploy image all the computers. It shows that I have a task waiting. What I'm going to do right now is take this laptop and restart it. Close tabs. You can do a multitask. You know what? Forget it.
And we're out.
Yeah. So what we're doing is looking at one of my computers that I'm cloning right here.
You're pixie booting that?
Yep, it will pixie boot. Hopefully the video will pick up early, which it's not.
Well, if everything went perfect, what would you do?
Well, I haven't tried having this.
Yeah, you want to know if you could see the pixie boot happen. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Damn it.
While this blue screen is going on, we didn't want you to see computers actually pixie booting, because you're not adults. So.
It makes sense. It's a Windows machine.
Yeah. Well, I can actually do the same thing on the...
It sounds kind of dirty. Probably don't want to watch it.
No, it's not going to pick up.
At all.
Well, what I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to kill this one. I'm going to do it to the VM image. Okay, so instead of this other computer...
Which is now probably not going to do anything, right?
No, I didn't get into the cloning. I'm guessing it would actually take about 15 minutes to clone this computer. Sending it out is much faster. So I'm going to list all hosts. And I'm just going to hit deploy to the VM computer. Image all computers. Oh.
So we can't see what you're doing.
You might want to pop that up so we can see it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can. Once he switches dual vision here.
Okay, so I'm gonna install the host. VMware. I'm gonna associate it with an image. Update. Now I'm putting a 2133 image on a VMware of 2140. I have no idea how well that's going
to
work.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see.
But the cool thing about VMware is it allows you to test. So I'm actually going to deploy this. Image all the computers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this computer, and I'm going to restart it. So you can at least see what it's going to do.
We'll actually see it pixie boot.
We'll see it pixie boot. We'll see it start the image.
No.
There you go. This is the pixie booting where it's looking for the source. Now it's loading Linux, actually. And I set it to clone, so this is what you're going to see. If you do multitask or a group, you're going to see this in your entire lab. If you have the fog client already in the lab, it will reboot. It takes a minute or so. But it will automatically reboot. When it comes back up, if you're trying to, say, connect it to Active Directory, you have to be a little bit patient.
Kind of hunt it out.
Yeah, you kind of have to wait. I think it will cycle every 2 minutes it will say, you know, is there a task out there?
So if you don't have the fog client, you can still image with just the Pixie boot.
Yep.
Okay.
The client will only restart the computer, add it to the directory.
Give you some statistical information on it.
Yeah. Or it'll automatically add it to the database. So if you're trying to put it on a lab, you can either upload a CSV file. You can go around to each computer and say quick inventory on each computer. Or you can install the client and it will automatically bring over that information.
BJ, I remember last year's talk was on the Active Directory connections that you were involved in. I'm sorry to see you still chafe under that. I'm proud of you for prevailing as well as you do under Active Directory.
2 minutes? Damn it.
You'll have a clone.
Okay. While this is going on, is there any other questions?
What do you think is the weakness?
I think the weakness of this is... You're going to kill me. The server portion of this must run on Linux. So common Windows networks probably don't have you have to put it on an extra box, which I did. I have my elementary school running on a 700 P3 with 256 megs of RAM. I put Ubuntu on it and fog, and it's just kind of sitting off in the corner.
Reused your box.
Reused the box. Estimated time remaining, 38 minutes.
That's still pretty impressive when you consider how you're doing it.
Yeah, and this is through VMware image on, two VMware images open on a notebook computer with 2 gigs of RAM.
Which is probably not what VMware would be sitting here clapping for. But.
I can get 600 meg a minute, and again, that's just with ping, but that's ping right there.
Yeah, it's ping right there.
Running gigabit to gigabit. On bare metal.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It looks like it's a 15 gig image.
Yeah,
size of partition.
Boy, that's got to be ping. It looks just like the old partition
image
screen. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. Now I'm comfortable. Now I see what it's doing.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, I've been using it all year. Love it.
Got it working with Active Directory. You're a genius.
Well, they already had the rule checkbox.
I don't do Windows.
So, BJ, in a nutshell, you put the client, fog client, on the machine that you want to clone, and then you have VMware on some box, and you turn the VMware on.
What I did in my school is I took one of these laptops, made it perfectly with the fog client, with the with everything. That I wanted on there, the fog client, the XP tools, all the software I wanted. I removed it from the domain, and I took an image of that computer. Then all the laptops that I got that were still boxed, I kind of set them up in my lab. I went around two ways I've done this in the past, depending on two stocks. The first time I went around, I actually got the MAC addresses, created a text CSV file spreadsheet and uploaded it. The next time around, I just walked around and hit that quick inventory to inventory the computers, and then I did a multicast to send it out. So I didn't even turn on the computers before I got this cloned.
You killed the software on it without ever really opening it up.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And the first thing they ever saw was the Linux Pixie boot. So. I don't know how to end this. Everybody's just sitting there staring at me.
Thanks for the scenario where you have.
Yeah, you've done it again.
Thank you. Even give me as much of a hard time. This might not get famous this year.
Oh, you're coming together.
Last year, if you're here, Paul and I had a.
Well, that was.
It became famous.